So our topic is food. One of the challenges of being in the role that I'm in, you know, especially these days, is that you have to speak on all manner of topics that may not be your topic. and so I've never really given a talk on food before. And I love food, but this is the first time. So we'll see how it goes. Yes, food. Hopefully there'll be a bit of time at the end for other people to come up and tell us about your story on food. I was hoping that Victoria would be here, but I don't think she is. She's Quentin and Victoria. She's a nutritionist. But anyway, I need some help this morning, given that I'm just about falling off my feet. So can we pray? Let's pray. Jesus, you are the ultimate meal. And you have given yourself in a strange, mystical, metaphysical way as food. And there's something about yourself that fills that place that nothing else can. And so right at the beginning, Jesus, we say thank you. We say thank you that we enjoy your companionship, but you sustain us. And it's great. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Can we have the first slide up? Do you like my PowerPoints these days? All because of Julia Hill, yet again. She recommended that I get into this. So that's our topic. We go to the next one. Next one, Fiona. Next slide. Yes. This was on the news recently, my friends. What is it? Was it? Yeah. Julia just said it is the manufactured meat patty worth $400,000. It's the first test tube, not baby, first test tube hamburger. Okay, so that's what's coming, friends. That's what's around the corner. It will be cheaper. Okay. I'm going to be a little bit note-bound, which is not my normal style because I am really literally falling over here. Let me ask a question. If they came up with a all-in-one meal pill, would you take it? I mean, what would be your preference? An all-in-one meal pill or a plateful of everything? Okay. Here's another question. Are you the sort of person that gobbles, gulps, and goes? Who's a gobble, gulp, and go type guy? Person. Okay. Did you know that the average time that people spend having a meal at McDonald's is 11 minutes? You would say that's long. Longer than what you thought it would be. Yeah. I mean, again, fast food, gobble, gulp, and go. Here's another one. A century ago, believe it or not, it took 5 years to grow a pig. Isn't this fun today? A century ago, it took five years to grow a pig to the point where it was 130 pounds. Today, you can grow a pig in 6 months to 220 pounds and have it at the slaughterhouse before it has lost its baby teeth. Wouldn't you like my job? This is what I do all week. Just digging this stuff out. Did you know that half of all Brits in the UK have their meals in front of TV? Who here does? Now, when Ruby and I were in way of family. We didn't, did we? No. But now we do, don't we? So we watched the 5:30 Prime News, and we would have a meal in front of that news. Let me give you another one here. There was a survey recently taken of the four top temptations in the Western world. Four top temptations in the Western world. What do you think they are? Tell the person next to you. Okay, here they are, friends. The top temptation, according to the survey that I read, the top one is worry. Yeah. Temptation to worry. The second one is laziness. The temptation to procrastination. Laziness. The third one is in the area of eating too much. And the fourth one was in the area of social media. Yeah, social media. So the top food, it featured as number three. So people, our topic this morning is food. And you know, probably in a lot of churches when it comes to food, people would talk about food as temptation. This morning, friends, I would like to give you a little piece of a sermon, pun intended. A little piece on food as satisfaction. Because food doesn't always have to be temptation. Now, for some people it is. And that is an important topic. And it's a topic for another day, for another teaching. But today, I just want to talk about food as satisfaction. Even more specifically, as a spiritual space and discipline. Have you ever considered that? Because we're doing this crossover stuff on spiritual spaces and disciplines. Have you ever considered that actually eating food is a spiritual space, and discipline? So, food. Now, we are currently in Acts chapter 10. Could you turn it up if you've got your Bibles? Acts 10. This is the third teaching out of Acts 10. We have one more to go next Sunday morning where Ruby is going to be sharing with us on the topic of prejudice. So that's next Sunday morning, okay? So the first teaching that we had from Acts 10 was about Cornelius. And we looked at where he was up to in his spiritual journey. And I made the point that he had got so far, but there was more. And I also made the point in that teaching that God does not accept us where we are. He invites us where we are. There's a big difference there. There's this kind of modern mindset where, hey, with God he just accepts anything, he accepts you as you are. No, he doesn't actually. He doesn't accept us where we are. But he does invite us where we are. There's a big difference there. Okay, the second one that we did out of Acts chapter 10 was on last week. God. Oh, thank you. That God speaks. That God does speak. Now, this morning, if you come with me to food. Acts chapter 10. And if we go to, say, verse 9. Let me find it here. At about noon the following day, as they went on their journey and approached the city, Peter, he went on the roof to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And in the vision, he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." All barbecue people like that phrase. Get up, Peter, kill and eat. "And surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice said to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Okay, so from Acts chapter 10, we get this emphasis on eating. Now, on food. Who saw the movie starring Julia Roberts, Eat, Pray, Love? Show of hands. Now, when you think of this text, here she is here, Eat, Pray, Love, on the slide. I mean, Peter is praying, he's being exhorted to eat, and then later on, he shares a meal, he is a Jew, with a Gentile, a non-Jew, which is loving. So I thought, eat, pray, love. Now, next question. What is your personal story journey like with food? How were you brought up with food? When you were a single person, and if you still are, what is your relationship with food like? What were your parents like with food? If you are a married person now, when you got first married, what was your relationship with food like? What is it like now? Have you gone through seasons in your life where you've given up a whole lot of types of food? Are you in a season now where you eat anything? If you did, can we have the next slide there, Fiona? I think it's a sort of a timeline, that kind of, all these different types of foods out on that picture there. I mean, what has your history with food been like right up until the present? Tell the person next to you, go to it. Okay, guys. Was there anything you had to eat that you didn't like? For me, it was turnips and saveloys. Well, it wasn't for me, thank you, dear. But anybody else? What was? Yes, Tristan. You don't like tomatoes. Do you have to eat them now? Sometimes, but you don't like them. Okay. Anybody else? Linda. Oh, yeah. Especially when it's grindy. Yeah. Darlene? Eggplant. Okay. Anyone else? Beg your pardon? Oh, tripe. That's stomach lining, isn't it? Oh. Anyone like tripe? We have a prayer ministry later on. Anybody else in terms of foods you had to eat you didn't like? Roots? Porridge. Oh, with brown sugar in. There was a hand over here. Yes. Liz? Silver beet. Do you like it now, though? Love it now. Oh, okay. Anyone else on foods? John? What? Beg your pardon? Lamb's fry. What the heck is that? Oh, liver. That's got iron in it, hasn't it? Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, just get over it, John, yeah. Okay, here we go, people. You know, you'd have to say, friends, that food is the hot topic, pun intended, eh? It is the hot topic, isn't it? I mean, you meet strangers. What's really some of the first things that you talk about these days? I mean, it used to be sex. No, I mean, you know, when you meet a stranger these days, don't you just go straight to food? Well, we might pass on that one, guys. What about this one? Again, pun intended. You'd have to say food is the hot potato topic, wouldn't you?
Yeah, thank you, Archer.
You'd have to say it's a... don't you think that actually people used to divide a lot about politics, they used to divide a lot about social issues, but today people actually get quite adamant and strongly opinionated and spirited about food. Like, you know, when you have these arguments or discussions, the best cheese is? It's blue vein, of course. The best bread comes from? And is it Vegemite or Marmite? Is it smooth peanut butter or rough? A good red comes from Hawke's Bay or Central Otago? Sorry. I mean, there's a lot of arguments now, and good ones, in and around food. In my age group, there's a lot of people actually who would love to chuck in their jobs and become butchers, farmers. I mean, they just want to get jobs around food. A lot of people would love to do that sort of thing. Who here goes out on Pinterest, social media? Anyone on Pinterest? Social media. Most of the photos feature what? The kitchen. I mean, it used to be the epicenter of the home was the hearth. It used to be the fireplace. It used to be the lounge, the dining room, whatever. Now, very much so, it's the kitchen. Is that right? Okay. Pinterest kind of displays that. What's another one here? Books. Who here has read Alison Holst? Is that right? Alison, come on. Who here has read, what's her name? Annabel Langbine. Yeah. Who here has got a book by Jamie Oliver? Who here has read Al Brown? I have all of those books. Okay. So there's, I mean, they're coming out by the hundreds now, all related to food. What about TV programs? What's your favorite TV? Who does Jamie Oliver, the 15-minute meal? Yeah. Ruby and I, when we were last in London, we actually went to a Jamie Oliver restaurant. I just wanted to go. Jamie Oliver restaurant, and I got a burger. And it was the only thing we could really afford. But man, it's the best burger I've ever had. It was really, really nice. I mean, what's your favorite TV? Tell the person next to you. Food. On food. Go to it. Oh, you guys, you're loving this topic this morning. Okay, guys, if there is a fascination with food, there is also now a growing fear. Is that right? Almost a pathological fear of food these days. I mean, for example, there is a thing called dietary alarmism. People are getting so paranoid about, is it this diet, is it that diet? I mean, what did we have? We had the Atkinson, what was it? Atkins diet, and that's low carb, is that right, or no carb? Low, no carb. And then you've had, you know, what are the other diets that we've got the fast diet now? I hopped on a plane yesterday, and what was the air hostess, what was she clutching? A book called The Fast Diet. Going in an airplane. And And what is the fast diet? Do you know this one? That for 5 days, you eat and eat and eat and eat, and for 2 days, you fast. Who's on this current diet? No one's going to admit it anyway. So there is, and then there is also vitamin scares these days. Did you hear the latest news on omega-3 fish oil? Now, Ruby and I, we've been taking it because our brains are creaking these days. So, and then this report came out that there's a good correlation between omega-3 fish oil and, for men, prostate cancer. Is that right, Dr. Liz? Oh, sorry, Lisa. I am tired. Lisa. Yeah. Yeah, it was in the Herald. And there seems to be a good empirical, you know, research base for it, maybe, arguably. So there are these kind of vitamin scares. Another thing is, of course, eating disorders. And I think we all know people who, be it under-eating or overeating. In terms of overeating, the obesity rate in New Zealand now is very high. Professor Gluckman, who is the scientific advisor of, you know, our Prime Minister, John Key, he has recently come out and said that 37% of Kiwis are overweight and 28% have an obesity issue. And he is now saying, I don't know if you read this, he is now saying that it can be rooted in what the parents feed the baby within its first 2 years. He is now suggesting that an obesity switch can get turned on genetically within right up until age 2 through poor foods being given to the little one. So those sort of reports have come out. Then there are vegetarians. Who here has been a vegetarian? Oh, only a few of us. Who here has been a vegan? What someone said? What is a vegan? They abstain from animal products, including eggs and dairy. And beg your pardon? Yeah, okay. So some of them are honey. So, and then, of course, with this whole paranoia around food, there is now food recall. And what have we had just recently? Fonterra. And there are just all of these massive food recalls occurring. So there's this fascination with food and a growing fear with food. Now, food is also a social justice issue now, believe it or not. So I have a list. Could we have this up, Fiona, in terms of food being a social justice issue? So for those people who are hearing this overseas, and by the way, we do have a growing number of people that lock into our little fellowship to hear us. In terms of social justice issues around food, we need to educate ourselves on where food comes from. A chemist's lab, a hemisphere away, or a local farm. Number two, we need to eat locally as much as possible to support local farmers and to reduce the natural resources it takes to put food on our plate. Number three, we need to get into the growing and preparing of our own food. Number four, we need to eat lower on the food chain, meaning eating less meat and more plants. Are you doing that? Number five, support fair trade practices that protect rather than exploit farm labourers. It's a social justice issue, interestingly. And then number six, support organic farms and free-range ranches. How many here buy organic eggs? Free-range eggs. They are a bit more expensive. And then advocate for return to agricultural biodiversity. So, hey friends, it's a social issue. Now, we finally come, I'm nearly done, food in the Bible. If you had to be in my shoes this morning and you had to give a talk on food other than going to Acts 10, where would you go? You would go to Proverbs, Ruth. Is there quite a bit on food in there? Okay, she knows a nice little morsel within Proverbs. oh, that was lame. Anybody else, where would you go to in terms of the Bible? Catherine? What does it say in Psalm 104? Yeah, so it talks about olive oil and grass and, yeah, so on. Someone, where else would you go, friends? David? You'd go to Leviticus. We'll come to that. Where else would you go? Genesis. Genesis, God created all food, and it was good. And then we also have a read in Genesis of the first diet. Adam and Eve weren't allowed to eat the apple.
Oh, I'm really struggling this morning. Here we go.
But actually, then we go to Exodus, and God graciously provides manna, you know, the kind of bread-like substance for the Israelites. And, you know, when you think, I think we get so super spiritual sometimes, friends, that when it comes to the sacrifices in the Old Testament, look, they were a Barbie. I mean, they sacrificed the animals, yes, to put things to right between themselves and God and themselves and others, yes. But what did they do with the meat? They roasted it. And then they distributed it. It was a wonderful barbecue. No disrespect intended. So, but in terms of the Bible, I mean, when we go to Jesus, he had a reputation. He was a party goer. He loved to rock up to parties. And then in his last hours on earth, just before he ascended, what was the thing that he did? He put a Barbie on the beach. I mean, I think Jesus was into food. Now, come with me to Leviticus, though. It's a classic passage. Chapter 11. Okay? Chapter 11. I don't think we need to read it all, but... let's do it. Chapter 11. You might like just to listen, and it goes like this. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on the land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat any animal that has a split hoof completely divided and that chews the cud. There are some that only chew the cud or only half a split hoof, but you must not eat them. The camel, though it chews the cud, does not have a split hoof, it is ceremonially unclean for you. The coney? What on earth is a coney? What is it? A rock? A rock badger. She's our scholar in residence, Monique. The rock badger, though it chews the cud, does not have a split hoof, it is unclean for you. The rabbit, though it chews the cud, does not have a split hoof, it is unclean for you. And the pig, though it has a split hoof, completely divided, does not chew the cud, it is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses, they are unclean for you. Of all the creatures living in the water of the seas and the streams, you may eat any that have fins and scales. But all creatures in the seas or streams that do not have fins and scales, whether among all the swarming things or among all the other living creatures in the water, you are to detest. And then it goes into verse 13. These are the birds that you are to detest and not eat because they are detestable. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, any kind of black kite, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull, any kind of hawk, the little owl. Oh my goodness, what is that? And that creature, and then the great owl, and then the white owl, and then the desert owl, and then the osprey, the stork, any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that walk on all fours are to be detestable to you. There are, however, some winged creatures that walk on all fours that you may eat, those that have jointed legs for hopping on the ground. Of these you may eat any kind of locust. Oh my goodness, Katie did. Cricket or grasshopper. But all the other winged creatures that have four legs, you are to detest. And it goes on and on and on and on. It's a great list. You know, when people read this list, this is one of the reasons why they stay away from religion. And they think that this is all about the rules and regulations of religion, these food laws. It's not about that. It's not about that, people. What is this list all about? You see, the Israelites were going into the promised land. And you know how it is sometimes to set yourself apart and different from other peoples in the land, you choose certain markers. How you dress, what you say, but also what you eat. And so food for the Israelites became an ethnic marker, an identity statement. This is what a Jew looks like. This is what they eat. Now, is it any different today? Can we have the next slide? What is that? That's a whale. Which nationality eats whales? Japan. It's a bit of a marker. Can we have the next slide? I'm sorry about this if you are sensitive this morning. That is what? No. No. That was the family dog. Do you know when I lived in the Philippines, we ate dog? Anybody else here eaten dog? And do you want to know how it was done? You don't want to go there. The skin was like chewing gum and you ate it. And then the innards of the dog were deep fried and they were your chippies. And then the meat was aphrodisiac-dized, you know, kind of spiced up. We ate dog a lot in the Philippines. Which country today eats dog? Yeah, that's right. It's North Korea. It's a marker. It's a nationality marker. Give me another slide. What are they? Snails. Tell me which country. Yeah, that's right. Give me another slide. No. Who is eating what in this picture? Who is eating what? It's a person eating a horse. No, that's it. It's a person trying to eat the horse. And which country recently has been featured in the news in terms of eating horse? It's the United Kingdom. Yeah. Okay. Are you enjoying yourself this morning, people? Now, I've got to finish. You've probably had enough. You're full already. Here we go. I think that eating is a spiritual discipline. Praying is a spiritual discipline. Fasting, which is my next topic, by the way. I go from food to fasting. So my next topic, not next week, but my next topic is actually fasting, interestingly, from Acts. But food is a spiritual discipline. How can we turn eating food into a spiritual practice discipline? Okay, here we go. Next slide. Number one, through grateful, what's that word? Permissiveness. People, when it comes to eating, I think we need to become like the French. What do I mean by that? You know, the French, they love their food. You know, for the French, they eat without guilt. The French, they take great delight in eating. Food for them is something to be loved. Do you know the problem with us Baptists? We are some of the biggest killjoys on the planet. No, we are. Do you know we have a reputation out there as the killjoy denomination? No, we do. I mix it with, you know, and we are known for as the denomination that have so many rules about everything. Oh, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. Baptists have that reputation. No, it's true. And so I think we need to kind of get over it. Because there are some people in Baptist circles, I don't know, they just can't, that we're not allowed to enjoy anything. And because they don't enjoy anything, they go all sourpuss. Is that right? And they kind of go all sour, and their behavior becomes somewhat resentful, and they try to drag other people down to their level. Like, none of us here can enjoy anything around here. Baptists are terrible killjoys. So, friends, give yourself permission to enjoy food, to love it, to savor it. Can I have a yes on that one? Isn't it interesting? There was no natural amen on that one. Okay, next one. To turn food into a spiritual discipline through letting food speak of God's goodness in procuring and preparing your own food. How many here have a veggie garden? Hands up. How many here would say that their veggie garden also didn't work?
I can't make it work. Oh, I tried.
But look, what is happening in our society today is that we're all kind of busy and stressed, yes? So what people increasingly are doing is that they race home, they raid the deep freeze, they bring out a ready-made meal, they microwave it, and they think that that will help them to live a more stress-free life. No. Do you know the way to unwind, truly? Is to go out slowly, slowly, into the backyard, pick a broccoli, cut some spinach beet, get some beans, walk slowly back inside. I do this most nights of the week because you guys are so stressful. You get the veggies, you go to your nice board, then you just slowly chop, and then you do some boiling or steaming, and then you do some frying or baking. And then Ruby arrives home in a terrible state. But the meal is prepared for her.
It's true, isn't it? It's true.
But I tell you, who's gaining the most? Moi. I tell you, it just helps you to unwind, to grow your own food and to cook your own food. It is a wonderful spiritual practice. It does more for your soul than anything else, in some senses. Number three, through simplicity and celebration. How many people here have a feast night once a week? You know how you have ordinary meals, but then one night of the week you have a feast? No?
Yeah, that's right.
You guys don't feast? You know, have you read this book? The Israelites were into feasting. They had regular feasts, almost like any excuse for a feast. You know, a current little feast that we have, it may not be for you, but on a Friday night, we do bring in takeaways. But for us right now, it's pizza and Zero Coke with a DVD. Friday night. And it's like a little feast. Chocolate to follow, da 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 da. And we mix our feasts up once a week. You guys don't do that? Oh, goodness me. Okay, next one. Through redemptive movement and symbolic acts. What I mean by this is, look, if there are some of us here and you don't sit and you're doing your meals in front of the TV, I would like to recommend that you stop. Especially the families. And what you can do is do it slowly and symbolically. Like you say to yourselves, okay, this week we will at least have one meal around the table and not in front of the TV. So you do it slowly and symbolically. And even when it comes, if you don't cook, I would like to recommend anybody here who doesn't cook to begin to cook. I heard one amen. To begin to cook. But you don't have to do, okay, from this point onwards, because Mick gave that talk yesterday, I'm going to cook all meals this week. No, just this coming week, do one meal if you don't currently cook. What do you think? It's a symbolic act, but it really helps. I've got to finish. Listen to this, guys. Come to me. him to celebrate. Celebration is a spiritual practice. You know, joy nurtures energy. Joy makes us strong. And when we celebrate food, it's like it helps us to do all of the other disciplines. Without celebration, we become a dull people. You know, when we celebrate around food with each other, and we do it kind of socially and all that kind of stuff, I don't know, it helps us to live into all of the other disciplines. I reckon celebrating around food is probably, arguably, the antidote to sadness. No, it's true. Thank you, Owen. Yeah, okay. So, I got to finish. We, this morning, have some plates full of little delicacies. You're only allowed one. Guys, one. Just one. Okay? Because we did this on purpose, that to savor the one item. Just one item. Okay? There's some little delicacies. So I'm going to say grace. But before we do that, I'm going to invite Wilson to come up and just do something with a very special family. Okay, Wilson, thanks a lot. And we're going to then close our service. Yeah, so Hayden and Tanya, if you'd like to come up the front. Yeah, thanks. And then I'll take over after you. Have we got the, there's the handheld.
Hey, kia ora whānau. Oh, kia ora. As you might know, you know, we've got a new addition to our staff, and that is Hayden, and he's from Kerry. He's studying there at the moment. And I thought, we thought that as a church, you know, we might invite them up, get to know them a little bit better, see their pretty little faces and all of that jazz, eh? Isn't it awesome? So, we're going to invite the little kids as well, but I think they're still in Sunday school. All right. What's your, I was going to ask your daughter, her favourite colour. What's her favourite colour? We'll test her. Pink. Okay, is your son a Blues or a Hurricane fan? It's, Hurricanes. He can sway it. Oh, okay, I will sway them. So, what was the shift like from Wellington?
It was pretty huge, but we're good now.
How's your family? Because that was the earthquake that just happened, eh? Just recently. How are they?
They're fine. Yep. Good, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, we're very caring like that. Hayden, do you want to tell us a little bit of your ministry journey up to this point?
I started youth ministry pretty early on, I guess, 17, in Brethren Circles, Brethren Church. I did an internship at a Baptist church in Wellington. As he just training to be a youth pastor, we went to the UK for a few years. Worked at just with youth ministry over there at Hillsong Church, and came back. And I've been working half time. I'm an electrician by trade, so I've been working half time as a sparky and half time as a youth pastor at Wellington South Baptist for eight years, nearly 9 years.
So Hayden's been around the traps, as you know. And final question before we do some other things. What do you think of Rewa so far?
I'm really enjoying it, actually. Feels as like we have lived in Porirua, and it feels quite like home, to be honest. One of the things I really like, and it might sound funny, but it's true, one of the things I didn't like about Island Bay, so we travelled into Island Bay in Wellington, is that every time I went to the supermarket, I just kind of felt, maybe you could say judged, but I just never felt like I fitted in. And when I went to Porirua, I could wear my slippers to the supermarket, and I was just, nobody blinked an eyelid, you know, quite a few of them were wearing their pajamas, in fact. And I just like that lack of pretense. I just like the fact that, you know what? Oh, it's the end of the day. I've got my slippers on. I forgot to get some milk. I'm going to shoot down and get them. And I like that. And I felt like just walking around Manurewa, it's just, yeah, this is just cool. And, you know, in Island Bay, I think where I worked in Wellington, I would pay $6 for a pie, $5 to $6. Serious. And, like, I could buy 4 pies for that here. And I like food, so. Yeah.
What about you, Tanya? Are you finding Rewa?
I haven't been here as much as Hayden, but we spent a day, Lucy and I spent a day at the Botanical Gardens, which was really lovely. And the welcome we've got has been outstanding, and a cool children's ministry means a lot to us. We've come from a church with a struggling children's ministry, and it's partly selfish, but I'm really glad there's a really good church children's ministry here.
Oh, awesome. What an awesome family, eh? Let's give them a hand. And as you guys know, Hayden's a jack of all trades as well. He's actually installing our heat pumps as well for our church. Am I correct on that? I'm very correct on that. You know, very good timing. You know, what a blessing. It's awesome. Like, is this, you know, I think it's God's timing, actually. Also at this church, we have a promise making culture as well here, where, you know, each party's or people's, we make promises to each other on this new journey that we embark in Rewa, I guess. So yeah, Hayden, is there any promises you'd like to make to us Rewa folk in your time here?
Wow. No, look, I promise I'll give it my best, everything I'd like to think I'd give everything my best shot. Sometimes I fail, but I promise to give it my best, whatever I'm involved in. So I promise to care and love the church and the people here. I really love people, so that's not a hard promise to make. So, yeah. And wherever I end up, I'll make that promise happily. God loves me, so I'm happy to love others.
Awesome. Is there anyone from our church whānau that wants to make a promise to this family? Just speak out loud, as loud as you can. I promise to be a friend as well. Like, if you ever need someone to talk to, we can grab a meal, discuss it over there, have a beer, whatever. Yeah. Sweet. Before we pray to close off the ceremony, I'd just like to say something about food as well. There's something special about food, you know, it brings people together. And also in Māori tikanga, there's a concept called whakanoa, where if everyone eats together, they become one. And we hope that as we enjoy our delicacies, one each, I'll just remind everyone again, you know, that you guys feel welcome and part of this family again. So yeah, let's just pray for this family, eh? Dear Lord, I just thank you, you know, for who you are, Lord. And, you know, we just thank you for your people, Lord. We thank you that, you know, sometimes in life, you know, we go through different journeys. And sometimes, you know, we end up on the same journeys together, Lord. Lord, I just pray that, you know, in our new journey together with Hayden's family, Lord, that, you know, that you go before us, Lord. And they were able to, you know, build your kingdom here in Rewa, Lord, and be a gift to the community here, Lord. And everybody said.
Okay, let's all stand. Could we have that final slide, Fiona? Let's read these graces out together. Okay, let's read them together. Blessed God, who gives food to all creatures, fill our hearts with joy and gladness, that we may abound in every good work in Christ Jesus our Lord, with whom to you be glory, honor, and might, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Here at this table, we are not alone. You are with us as we are with one another. Heaven is a banquet, and life is a banquet too. Even with only a dry crust shared in companionship, love comes with community. Bless this food. Bless us as we love one another and as we love you. Amen. Lord Jesus, be our holy guest, our morning joy, our evening rest, and with our daily bread and part, your love and peace to every heart. Amen. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed this morning. Go in peace and enjoy a morsel.